Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier. It's my pleasure to be with you for the next, I'll be here for 2 hours, but we've got 3 hours of Community Connections between 2 and 3. We've got the Council Connection Show between 1 and 2. We've got our private investigator, Pete, to come in and tell us a bit about what he's been going on and bits of things that PIs get up to. But it's my pleasure for the next hour to be talking to Heidi. Now, we've spoken to Heidi before. She's the CEO down at Anchor. So, first of all, welcome, Heidi.
Thank you, Alan. Lovely to be here.
Heidi, can you get a little bit closer to your microphone at all? Probably not.
I've got the...
That's a bit better? Yep.
Yeah, that's a bit better. Okay, good.
Now, Heidi, what we want to do is we want to have a bit of a talk. I believe it's Homelessness Week. So, first of all, I'd like to make a statement to you, and you're not going to like the statement because you're going to say, well, that's wrong, but I'm going to repeat it to you because I've heard this many times where a lot of people say, well, a lot of the homeless, you know, if they bother to get themselves a job and they wouldn't be homeless. But that's not true, is it?
Absolutely not. I'm in Victoria, 13,000 people who are working came in to homelessness services in the last year.
Heidi, we're still not getting a very strong... from you. We'll just have to see if we can get it up a bit louder. It seems to be a bit soft. We'll just see if we can't. Let's go again, please, Heidi.
Okay.
No, you've disappeared now.
Okay.
Now go.
Yep, I'm here.
A lot better. Thanks. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Right.
Now, I made that statement only because I've heard that said on a number of occasions.
And look, Alan, unfortunately, 13,000 people came through homelessness services last year who were employed.
That's tragic.
Sometimes it's, there's two people in a family that are employed. So I guess that, you know, there's a wide continuum of people kind of, you know, from absolutely homeless tonight with their bag on their back to, you know, to people who come in to see us that say, look, we've been thrown out of our rental. We actually don't have really anywhere to go. We're going to be leaving there in a week's time. Can you help us? So there's all sorts. There's also obviously people that, you know, young people and women and children that are escaping violence. So they may or may not know when they're going to escape. And when they do, they, you know, they come to us and ask for help. So,
Heidi, one of the things that a lot of these people, and I know there are people who through ill health, mental illness and that become homeless, but a lot of these people that you're talking about just in the middle, what I started off by saying, these people would have never imagined in their whole life that they were ever going to be homeless, would they?
No, and that's exactly right, Alan, is that we now have so many people who come into our office in Lilydale and say, I never thought I was going to need to come to you, but I am. And there's a conflation of, I guess, of different factors. The cost of living is that, you know, everything costs more.
Yep.
So, you know, you've got less money perhaps for rent. I think that you know, there's a lack of social housing, so a safety net for people. And, you know, rents are just completely unaffordable, really, to anyone, really, now. There's only maybe one or two in the whole of the Yarra Ranges that would be anywhere near affordable for anyone. So, yeah, so it really is it is a national crisis. And I think, you know, I was thinking about this before I came on air, Alan, the damage that is done to people by becoming homeless or having unstable housing cannot be overstated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it means that, you know, often kids and maybe their schooling is suffering. You know, for the adults, the stress and perhaps that kicks into AOD use, kicks into mental health concerns. And these effects are not short term. You know, if people think that, oh, well, just get a house and everything will be fine. You know, I've talked to people that, you know, are 10 years into like they've been housed for. In fact, we were doing another activity and a woman came up to us, to the anchor stand, and said, 10 years ago, you helped me. And for her, the experience of a decade ago was still as raw as it was back then. So it's a very difficult experience for people to recover from.
Heidi, I don't want to get into politics because I never ever do, and this is not a political show, but I was talking to a friend of mine who's an estate agent, and he's in Victoria, and he said that because of some of the taxes, and I don't want to get into them, particularly land tax, he's lost over 60% of his rental roll. They just come in and say, sell it, so it's sold, and for those who can afford to buy it, that's terrific. But the others who wanted to rent, well, they're just not around anymore.
Yeah, look, it's I don't have the statistics at hand about that. We do hear anecdotally that a lot of property owners are wanting to sell on their rental properties.
Yep.
When we think about, you know, the vast majority across Australia of people that have rental properties are your mums and dads who are kind of topping up their super.
Yep.
And, you know, most people have one property, you know, rarely two. And then, of course, there are some people that have lots, but it's becoming very complicated for people. The tenancy laws have changed, yes, you know, in favour of tenants. And obviously in some states there is land tax and different taxes. So it's, you know, owning rental properties is a business. It is a business. And I think that probably a lot of people these days that thought it was a great idea at the time are probably thinking, you know what, I'm not sure that this is a great idea. And of course, you know, that does decrease the stock because what ends up happening with those, they're not usually high-end houses. They're usually quite modest houses. Yep. And so when they get sold onto the market, they often go to first home owner, but, you know, first home buyers, and because they are at that lower part of the market, and so that's the market, or that's the housing that a lot of the people that we see used to rely on, and now they can't rely on it. So it is. It's a whole conflation of things that are causing a whirlwind crisis in Australia.
Heidi, I know you're going to tell me how long is a piece of string, so I probably already know the answer. But I personally can't imagine how hard it must be to roll up to Anchor or another organisation and say, listen, I'm really doing this tough. Mm. Is there any evidence or that there is a part, well, whatever percentage of people are homeless now, that there are in fact some above it who will just sleep in a car or do whatever they can, but they won't come to Anchor, they won't go to the bills because they are ashamed, which they shouldn't be.
Absolutely. You know, once again, I don't have the data at hand, but what we do know in Australia is, and in Victoria, is that our homeless services are not, we don't have enough staff to go around, so we don't have enough response. Yep. And in fact, there are a lot of people that are turned away from homelessness services right across Australia. Yep. That where people say, I'm sorry, we're closed for the day. We hear stories like out places like Footscray, where actually they're lined up down the street before the offices. Before the offices are open. And so there's a lot of people actually not getting a service. I'm proud to say that we manage it at Anchor, but we probably in the area don't have the demand. But there are people who are just too ashamed. People may or may not know that Anchor, in partnership with the Our Rangers Council, runs rapid response program, which is basically the council tell us when they find someone sleeping rough.
Right.
And that can be all over the place in their parks, in national parks, etc. And we respond basically within 24 hours as soon as we know, and we go out to talk to that person. And often those people are, they're very reluctant to come into an office, you know, come in and talk to people. Often their social skills are not what they want them to be, you know, et cetera. So,
and they're embarrassed.
Yes. And they're embarrassed, yeah. You know, it's like, you know, just please leave me alone, you know. Just wanting to kind of escape here. But, you know, what I'm proud to say is over the last 8-9 years, we've actually got a significant number of those people encouraged to come in to get help. Yep. And, in fact, we've actually had some housing outcomes for quite a number of those people. Which is great.
Yep. Heidi, I've got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Now, normally I've been playing some of the newer songs in this show. We've updated them more into the 2000s. But first thing this morning, I got a advice that poor old Cold Joy, one of the absolute swingers of the 50s and early 60s, passed away. So I'm going to play a song, Clementine by Cold Joy.
Down among the whispering pines and the honeysuckle vines, there's a very peaceful scene, that is where it all begins. In a cabin, crazy cowboy, excavating gold mines, there's a daddy, awful daddy, and a chief named Clementine. She drove the jeep down to New Jordan every evening, and tonight, I'll be popping.
Left this world sometime last night at the age of 89. He did fairly well towards the end because a lot of people thought when he fell off that ladder and quite a few years ago that he wouldn't survive. But he lasted till 89. And, of course, when we talk about these, we think of him, but he was married and he's got children and possibly grandchildren. So for them it's not only we lose somebody that we love their music, but they actually lose a family. So valet to Cold Joy, if you're listening Sunday night between 6 and 8 with our Rock and Roll Hit Parade, we'll play a couple of songs and we did play one last Sunday night. Anyway, enough of your ramblings, Alan. We're here to talk to Heidi Tucker, and she's the CEO down there at Anchor. Now, Heidi, somebody's told me the theme for homeless this year is homeless action now. So what sort of action is needed to try and do something about this?
Well, look, you know, I guess the theme for Homelessness Week, you know, at Action Now, I mean, I guess what it's really saying is that the actions that we need to take need to be now, not, you know, sort of sometime in the future when we, you know, think we've developed plans and this and that and the other. So, you know, it's actually doing it now. And I think, you know, I do think that the government, particularly the federal government, you know, are really wanting to push out the infrastructure fund that they have put aside for housing. But getting actual housing on the ground is a bit of a long-term exercise. And so, you know, I think that doing things that, you know, don't take too much time. One is certainly, you know, being much more proactive about preventing young people coming into homelessness. So that is something that we can do right here, right now, getting information out to schools, getting information out to where young people have, you know, sort of touch point with. I think that the program that we've been running that we've actually applied for more funding around is working with the children, quite young children, that follow their parents into homelessness, and that preventative sort of work that we can do with them now, sort of talking about, well having them be able to express their voice, how is this affecting them?
You there, Heidi? You've sort of frozen there for a minute.
Oh, okay. Am I back again?
Yeah, you're back now.
Yep. So some preventative measures can be done right here, right now, Alan. You know, they really can, working with young people, and, you know, developing a plan of action that is actually going to stop intergenerational homelessness.
That's the other issue, isn't it? And it's a bit like, I remember a few years ago interviewing somebody about the doll, and they were saying it's okay to support a family with a doll, but you've got to be very careful that the child doesn't think, well, that's what life's all about. And so you've got to be very careful. If mum and dad are homeless, the children can start to think, well, this is all we're ever going to get, can't they?
Look, I think I think that's maybe a part of it. But I think more importantly, I think what when we ran our pilot project talking to the kids of people who are homeless, they actually just wanted to be heard. They actually wanted for their voice and for them to be able to tell their story about how it had gone for them. And, you know, in that particular program, we looked at, well, you know, what are the issues that they've got? Are they struggling with school? Are they struggling with friends? You know, those sorts of things. Because what we know is that if you just ignore all of those issues, 50% of those children will become homeless in adulthood. So you've got to do something with the children when they're children. And our program that we called Meet Leanne was certainly focused on that. We're looking at for some more philanthropic funding to run that so that we can actually have something special for the children of people who are homeless, because they often are forgotten in our adult systems.
I suppose so too, isn't it? Because I guess you're trying to address to get mum and dad into homing and that, aren't you? And not necessarily the children can sort of just be part of it.
Yeah, and they're often, unfortunately, collateral damage. You know, they didn't ask to be in the situation that they're in.
Yep.
So, you know, we have a Christmas party once a year. We have lots of the Rotary Club of Villagedale collect some wonderful presents for the kids who are in homelessness, and it makes them feel special, because part of, you know, the biggest thing is that shame. You know, and they also tell us that they don't want to upset mum or dad by saying anything about their situation, because they didn't want to upset them, because they know they're trying their hardest.
Yep.
And so children sort of, you know, dance around their parents and you know, are reluctant to really say anything. So it's really important that we're able to talk to them separately and see what they need from us. Mm. It's really, really important. I think the other thing too is that we're, you know, we want to move away from from crisis.
Yep.
We really want to move into prevention.
Yep.
Because, you know, Crisis services are extremely expensive, far more expensive than prevention is.
And far worse on the people themselves, having got that far.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's not uncommon to meet like a young person who's, say, mid-20s or so, who's been homeless effectively for a decade. So actually responding quickly, preventing, is really important, because basically if you've been homeless for 10 years, a decade, imagine how much you've missed out on and that you haven't accomplished. And sometimes it's too late.
You feel as though you were never going to get out of it either after 10 years.
That's right. And then you can't blame people for feeling really angry about the deal they've been told. I guess the action now is actually really about, we need to do it now.
Yeah.
And we need to all encourage our local members, represent us in government, that actually these actions need to start now. We can't just sort of start on next year.
Heidi, we've lost you for a minute, so I'm just going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Hopefully we're right. Shut it down and open it up again.
You're much clearer in the. Yeah,
I was going to say you had my hopes up. I thought you were going to say you look a lot better.
I can see you better.
Heidi, what's the purpose of the week? Is there anything special on, or is the purpose of the week just to highlight homelessness?
It's a bit of everything. I think that it's a week where all of us try to get out more into the general community and just raise awareness about the issues and the problems.
Can I just ask you one question there, Heidi?
Yeah.
Because I'm interested in this. Out of the people that you talk to, you're out in the population talking to people, how many people... eyes do you open? How many sort of think, it's just nothing much?
Oh, look, That's a really hard question to answer. I guess that what we saw with the last election was that the biggest issue for all Australians was housing.
Yep.
And when you do dig a little deeper, people are quite aware that there are people who are homeless. They can actually imagine it because they can see the cost of everything, and if they're renting, you know, the cost of renting or whatever.
Yep.
So I think, you know, there's probably more awareness because the whole issue is a little closer to most people. A lot more people in Australia now.
Yep. Yep.
But I think that, you know, I think there's still lots of myths. Yep. I think there's lots of myths. I think that, you know, when people think of homelessness, I think, well, you know, the guy on the street with the, you know, sort of sitting down with a you know, bottle of beer or something.
And but a in beard fact that, and looks
yeah,
fluffy.
Yeah, and, yep. And in fact, that is just a such a small minority.
Yep.
The vast majority are women and children escaping violence.
Are they?
They didn't – oh, absolutely. They did not – you know, they did not ask for any of that. And in fact, you know, on any given night in Australia, there are 28,000 young people who are young Australians that are experiencing homelessness.
When you're talking young, though, what age group are you talking there, Heidi?
I'm talking usually under 21. Yeah.
Gee.
Yeah. It's a lot of people.
They're ones that are couch surfing and all that?
They can be in all sorts. They could be, you know, in youth refuges, which is basically they're homeless because they're in a refuge.
Yep.
They can be, you know, they can be, yeah, they can be surfing, they could be, you know, homeless, you know, sort of bunking in with other people. They could be on the streets, you know, wandering around, etc. It's a whole range of sort of particular circumstances. But, you know, when you think about that number 28,000 on any given night, that is 28,000 young lives that are being almost destroyed.
Heidi, one thing that I think you and I have spoken once or twice, but one thing we never highlight with homelessness is that some of those young people, if they're couch surfing, it's a little bit different, but some of these are sleeping out in parks and that.
Yep.
It's not only the fact that they're homeless and they might be short of something to eat, but they're in a lot of danger too, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I particularly think of young women. Out in a park trying to sleep. I mean, they're in a lot of danger.
Absolutely. And look, you know, it is interesting when you talk to people that have had these experiences of homelessness. There's one particular young woman that we've supported for a while. And, you know, she talks about that the safest place to sleep was actually in the toilets of the casino. In the city, because that's open all night.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it gets around as to where there might be safe spaces.
It's sad if the best place you can sleep is a toilet.
Well, yeah, but at least you can lock the door and kind of hide. No one necessarily would know that you were there. And it's inside a building and whatever. But, yes, I mean, anyone really who's homeless, whoever they are, it is a dangerous business.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, you know, the amount of deaths in homelessness is really frightening.
Is it?
Yes, it is, and particularly there's a statistic now that 4 young people in homelessness suicide per week.
Per week?
Per week.
Gee, yep. That's one every second day, over one every second day.
Yep, around Australia, yep.
Heidi, when you say that they're in danger, are you talking physical danger or...
Well, you know, all the young people we see, or in fact all the people that we see that have experienced homelessness, you know, they all say their mental health deteriorated, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely their AOD use escalated because they were just trying to dull the pain. I mean, people are at risk of physical, emotional, psychological damage. They really are. That can really shape the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. Got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk to Heidi. And at 5 to 1, as I always say, please have your paper and pencil ready, because I'm sure Heidi would not knock back any donations, and she'll tell you how you can do it at about 5 to 1. We all belong here. songs we're playing today comes out of the Oz Indie file, which, of course, Greg will be here to do the Oz Indie show at 3 o'clock this afternoon between 3 and 5. But we're talking to Heidi, who's the anchor down at... she's a CEO at Anchor. She's also probably the anchor of the place as well. But anyway... Heidi, I just want to ask you this, and I know you were at a conference in Sydney and we talked to you earlier in the year. Mm. Are we getting anywhere near the top of the numbers, or do you still believe the numbers have still got a way to go before we hit the top? Be honest.
I would suggest that we've not seen the top yet. No, I really don't believe we have. And there's just this lag between, rising costs of rent and the lag of getting social housing and community housing on the ground. There's a time lag.
I used to be in the industry, not as a builder myself, but we supplied material to them. And even if you started a house tomorrow, some of them are taking up to 12 months, and we're talking a single house. So, I mean, some of these projects can be 4 and 5 years away by the time you get your planning permits and all that.
That's right. And look, that's not, it's not anyone's fault as such. I think that, previous governments of all persuasions have been short-sighted. You think about the governments sort of in the 50s and 60s when they knew that they needed a whole heap of new workers in Australia. Yep. So they built houses.
Yep.
They built houses for people because they knew that they wouldn't get people from overseas and workers to live here if they didn't actually have a house to live in. And yep. I just think that sentiment of providing that public housing or that, that low-cost housing, that whole sentiment's been lost somewhere. We got very excited about house prices and interest rates and, whatever, and we've just all kind of ignored this other side of the equation. So, no, I don't think that we've seen the height of things yet. I'm not quite sure. I don't know in my lifetime whether we're going to catch up.
And
actually have enough housing. I think these conditions are with us for quite some time.
And apart from everything else, and again, I don't want to get into politics because I just don't do that on this show. But I mean, it's very difficult to get workers because a lot of them are working on these big builds.
Yeah, look. I think there are workforce issues, we know that there are issues with trying to deliver this housing, but I guess this homelessness week is about action now. Like, what can we actually do about that? Do we need more tradies? Do we need, Like taking action, not just saying, oh, there's this problem, there's that problem, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's what we're all sort of, trying to get out this week is we've actually got to take action now because, as you say, Alan, things will get worse. Yep. Things will get worse and we are going to have a whole lot of people that have experienced homelessness as children, as adults, they've escaped violence, whatever that looks like for them, and they're going to be harmed and scarred for a very long time, and we're going to be in catch-up mode with those people for a time with mental health services. Schools are going to see kids that are not really coping with school because they've got all this other stuff going on in the background. So it's just going to have an impact all over, and it's going to affect all of us all over.
I've got to take a quick break and then I've got another question for you, and then we'll tell people what they can do to help.
Kissed a boy, my mama said, don't let nobody steal your joy. He'll try to treat you mean just to keep your kingdom. Stand for it, honey, you know you're a queen. Don't think I haven't seen the signs. I ain't blind, so don't waste my time, cause I'm bad. Yeah. to set you free. Cause I know that there's plenty of fish in the sea. Don't think I haven't seen the signs. I ain't blind. I see through.
Somebody was to come into you today, and we'll give people the contact details when you're telling them how they can donate, for those that have got money that can donate. But if somebody came into you today and told you their story, they're homeless, how long would it really take to get that person into any sort of decent, I'm not talking about overnight accommodation or that. I just want to let the listeners know how big a problem. And I must say, I've just been contacted by a listener during that break to say how important this conversation is about homelessness, because not everybody understands how big it is. But if someone came into you today, and as I say, I'm not talking about overnight accommodation, I'm talking about trying to get them into proper accommodation, sort out, well, we'll say it's a lady with a couple of children who's coming from a terrible relationship, it's not their fault. How long would it take Anchor to get somebody like that settled again, so we understand how big the problem is?
Yeah, look, the time differs depending on the person and the person's circumstances, because obviously a lot of things are sort of, you know, sort of rationed out, I guess, but, you know, compared to people's needs.
Yep.
But look, I'd say on an average, you're not going to get into any kind of sort of permanent long-term housing for at least 2 years, if not
that
longer.
Long.
Oh, absolutely, because, you know,
see, I don't want to cut across you, but I really want to stress it, because I don't believe the people that are listening today would believe that. I would think a lot of it's, they front down tomorrow and Anchor have get them a place within the end of the week and it's all over. So I really want to stress that. So that's not true at all.
Absolutely not. So we only have a very small amount of money per night to put people up in motels and things, and obviously we prioritise women with children to do that. So unfortunately, the single blokes coming in or a couple, we're probably not going to be able to offer them anything if they came in today.
Yep.
Because there just isn't the money. But in terms of a family, they will probably experience that very short-term accommodation, motels, hotels, maybe a refuge for probably up to about 6 months. Yep. Then they, you know, depending on their circumstances, may get prioritised to go into what we call transitional housing, which is public housing, but it's for a transitional period of only a year.
Oh, right.
And then they go, you
know, you're there,
housing,
Heidi?
Waiting. Yes, I'm here. And then they go on the public housing waiting list. But, you know, what people really don't realise about that is that it absolutely is by priority and so forth. But also, most of the people in the Yarra Ranges that come to see us, none of them would get long-term accommodation in the Yarra Ranges or anywhere east.
There's
it would always
there.
be no, No, they would probably be offered something down in, you know, Dandenong, further down Cranbourne, maybe down Geelong, maybe out north. But look, for a family coming, if they came in today, I'd say it'd be anywhere up to 2 years before they actually got resettled.
So I don't think any of our listeners would understand that. I would think, oh, well, I'd be down at there tonight. I've just had another thing from a listener, but I'll do that in a minute. So I would have thought that most of the listeners would think it'll be sold by the end of the week. But we're saying up to 2 years to get them settled.
Yeah, there just isn't anywhere for them to go. I mean, you know, motels and hotels for a night and, you know, a few nights. You know, we've had families living in motels and hotels for up to 6 months.
Acre can't sustain that over years.
No.
So let's get down. We need some money. And I guess there's two things, though, isn't it? We really want – you need money. If there are people listening today that know of homeless people, they need to get them to contact you the same way. And I guess the other instance is that if people can help you anyway – let's do it. And I guess they also, I would think that Anchor wants people to go and talk to their local MP. You mentioned that before.
Yeah. So I think that's probably top of the list, Alan, is that make your MP, whether they be federal or state or even local, make it known to them that this is an important issue to you and that you want something done about it. You want something done now, not just talk of, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. No, what are you going to do right now? And look, you know, our MPs out in the Yarra Ranges, they care about this issue. They're really happy to talk to constituents about their concerns. So, yes, that's top of the list. I think the second thing is for people to, you know, talk to their families, talk to children, etc. Take away some of those myths, you know, that actually this is not the old man. This is, you know, women and children mostly, and a lot of children. And I think that the other thing for people to do is that, you know, Anchor is, like most organisations, running, just constantly running, trying to keep up, which is just increasing every day. So absolutely, to do our work, we would love more community support, you know, by donations, because they will go, you know, directly into our services, perhaps material aid that we give to people that's outside in our office, that people can come in and just get food and other items. So, yeah, people can certainly donate by going to www.anchor.org.au. There is a donate button that's very easy to follow, and any amount of money that people can spare will go, you know, directly to people that are, you know, experiencing homelessness.
Heidi, pardon me, I've just heard from a listener, and they're saying that they know someone who's lived out in the bush, too embarrassed to ask for help, but has actually been shot at. And they think, quite by accident, that it was probably a deer hunter, but it's what we were saying before, that it's a hostile environment out there.
That's right. And we do know we have a lot of people sleeping deep inside the national parks.
Unfortunately, I'm running out of time. Please give me that. Please give us those details again.
Yes, www.anchor.org.au. And look, any amount would be absolutely gratefully received.
Tax deductible?
Pardon? Yes, tax absolutely. $2 and more is tax deductible.
And if you know somebody who is sleeping rough, please contact Anchor on the same sort of way. Let them be aware, because they can't help anyone today. Heidi, I've got to go. It's fabulous to talk to you.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Lovely to talk again.
Well, I'm hoping one day you're going to say to me, oh, Alan, I'll just come on for a general chat, because I haven't got much to talk about. But I don't think that's going to happen in the short term.
No, busy in my life, I'm afraid.
You're doing a great job down at Anchor. And please, look, I know a lot of people are doing it tough, but some aren't. And if you can see your way to give some money towards Anchor, look, you couldn't do it to a better group. And you've just heard that it could take up to 2 years. So let's give them a hand. Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Alan. Bye for now.